Welcome to yet another edition of Hit the Target podcast, proudly brought to you by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Jesse Nagel, here to discuss all things English Premier League. And of course, it's been quite the story so far. We've seen just two teams claim maximum points from their opening two games. Of course, those two teams being the two best teams in the land, in Arsenal and Manchester City. And then we've got a big fixture to discuss this weekend between two sort of forgotten giants, one's a forgotten giant and one we're just trying to forget, that's being Manchester United and Liverpool. And here to discuss all things Premier League with me is, of course, Don, Mr. Value Fear, who knows all about that fixture, as well as Chadley Nagel. Gents, how's it,
well,
how's
what's
it going?
Happening? How's it, Dad? Shaky start to the Premier League. I didn't know that the two best teams in the land, in your intro, you say Arsenal and City, but yeah, I like the confidence.
That's a wise man. That's every Arsenal fan for you. They're getting carried away. Getting carried away from preseason.
A wise man once said, "The table never lies." So there's your story. Chad, opening weekend, opening fixture of the weekend sees Tottenham Hotspur, who did everything they could to get a point in. I don't know whether it was deserved or not. Maybe you can tell us more. They host Wolves in the opening game on Saturday.
Yeah, so it wasn't deserved. Clearly, I think I think both goals that they scored were questionable. I'm happy to look past the first one, but that last goal from Harry Kane, credit to him to get up, and poor defending from Chelsea's part. But at the same time, you have VAR, the referee Anthony Taylor. He destroyed Chelsea once again. The VAR officials were supposed to send Romero off for pulling Cucurella's hair. So that goal shouldn't have stood. But credit to Spurs, Chelsea should have been out of sight anyway before that opportunity even came in the last minute of the game. But Spurs, they, as expected, we've seen a lot of fights from Antonio Conte's team.
Too much fights, actually.
A lot of fights. Richarlison's back in the side now.
Conte's on the bench. Well, it's off the...
He's not on the bench.
He won't be on the bench. So you'll be on the sidelines.
So Spurs, obviously, playing at home. They'll be confident. There's a lot of, I was saying last week on the podcast, there's a lot of hype about them. There's a lot of swagger about the way they... about the way they're going about their transfer business. I think they've spent the most, or they've just added the most signings. And
I think Chelsea have actually spent the most.
Well, not yet, but I think
Nottingham Forest,
100 million. Yeah, most 15 transfers. Nottingham Forest.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, Wolves are a good team. I expect them to, they're not going to be pushovers. Spurs aren't going to walk over them, but I do think Spurs have enough quality to go to get the job done in front of their home support.
Just made me think I should actually double check it, because I last saw when Chelsea signed Cucurella, it was 63 million plus, and Koulibaly and Sterling, which I think surpassed Arsenal, who were the biggest spenders at the time. So I think obviously the Chelsea
we're going to spend more.
Yeah, Chelsea.
United as well, by the way. They've linked with everyone.
But Chelsea are the candy shop. Yeah. So for me, it's an easy game. I'm going to Spurs -1 at even money. I think that's probably the best bets of the weekend for me. Home team, too strong for Wolves. I can't see anything else. If Spurs win 1-0, it'll be an upset for me. I'm going on a big score. I think Son has to start hitting the straps. Kane, obviously, yes, we spoke about the goal from last week, but yeah, he's a confident striker, and especially at the stadium, their Tottenham home stadium. So they, White Hart Lane, they'll obviously come out and come guns blazing.
And Harry Kane scores in August, whether it's supposed to be. I'm not going to dwell too much on this fixture. Don, you always say it, just be careful of the early fixture. I feel like this one has all the makings of an upset. Wolves won't lose their identity against a big team. They love to spoil the party. And I think we saw Bissouma celebrations after the draw, after the 2-2 win, actually, against Chelsea. So I feel like now Wolves are all about spoiling the party. But yeah, speaking of spoiling the party, Crystal Palace are in action against Steven Gerrard's Aston Villa. Of course, Steven Gerrard hoping to do what his former team couldn't do last week, and that's beat Crystal Palace, Don.
Yeah, no, for me, I think Crystal Palace would take a lot of confidence of going to Anfield and getting a result. Yes, they might feel a bit aggrieved that they couldn't get all 3 points at Anfield. But having said that, I think the Palace team should be a little bit too strong for me against the Aston Villa team that has been sluggish in some parts. So for me, I'm going to go for the home side win here at 15-10.
Chan?
Yeah, tough game. But you'd fancy Crystal Palace, especially at Selhurst Park. They're a quality side, well-coached. Patrick Vieira was one of the best coaches of last season. And he's continued. He's come to Anfield and the sending off obviously played into Palace's favour in a huge way, which ultimately I think got them at least a point from that game. But I do think that, you know, you're talking about, you were just saying about Wolves, about how they just approach, they stick to their game plan. Palace are the same. In fact, even more so, they are fearless. They fancy their chances and they have quality up front. Eze, they've got, Olise, they've got, Zaha, like, you know, so much quality in their team. And I think they're a good pick, in this round set of games.
Big spenders, Nottingham Forest, who seem to be adding everyone to their squad. They travel to Everton, to Goodison Park. They make the trip up north to Merseyside. Chad,
yeah,
seems like it could be a good game. I feel like from the 4 o'clock kickoffs on Saturday, this one does stand out as one of those Premier League teams, typical Premier League games.
I actually think that, you know, there's a great opportunity for Nottingham Forest to go out and when I say get a positive result, I mean, leave Goodison with all 3 points. I really think it's possible.
Well, they just beat West Ham. So.
I really think it's possible because this team have shown a lot of fight. We know the history that this club has. We know that they are just happy to be back in the big time. It's showing. They look like they're actually enjoying their football. And Everton are in disarray. You know, there's a lot going on. Unfortunately for Lampard, there's some players that are out injured. Calvert-Lewin is out. Now they're one of their key players of last season. And probably their only attacker right now that's capable of hurting the opposition is, Anthony Gordon. His head's turned by a move to Chelsea. So, you know, you don't know what's going to happen up until now, from now till the end of the week. So, I guess watch that space. But I think Everton, there's just so much. They've lost Dele Alli now. You know, there's just a lot of things that are just not going for Frank Lampard's side. And you even look at the players they linked with. It looks like they are going to find themselves in another relegation battle this season. I would hope that isn't the case because Everton is an iconic club. You know, we want them to be. I certainly want Lampard to stay in, but it's not looking good for them. I think value bet of the week. I think Nottingham Forest.
If Nottingham Forest beats Everton, I think the writing's on the wall for Frank Lampard. Purely because everybody's tipped Nottingham Forest to go down. Yes, they played fantastically against West Ham last weekend. For me, the players of the men of the match in that game was Nico Williams, playing at right back and Dean Henderson as the goalkeeper. Mm. And I'm reminded of Dean Henderson when he played at Sheffield United. It was a brick wall. And maybe United were with the wrong people, sent the wrong goalkeeper out on loan. So for me, I'm looking at Everton, Nottingham Forest. I've actually gone on both teams to score at 9-10. I think it will be one of those Premier League games where it'll be exciting and it will be, a game that you'd want to watch as a neutral. But I think if Everton don't get a positive result here, and a positive result would be the win, I think the writing's on the wall for Frank Lampard.
I just can't wait to speak about David De Gea, of course, just now when we're discussing Manchester United. But yeah, one team who did manage to discuss it, spits out Manchester United last week was Brentford. And they faced a Fulham side who also, you know, have had their positive talking points this season, of course. Didn't go according to plan with Mitrovic missing that penalty last week, but they did get a draw against Anfield in the opening weekend. But all the confidence in the world is with Brentford right now, Don. After smashing Manchester United 4-0, they have to look for maximum points here.
Yeah, I think I'm all over Brentford, purely because of the performance that they did last weekend, 4-0 against the lapless United side. They stayed to their game, and Thomas Frank has been unbelievable in putting that side together. They just play an expansive brand of football. They soaked up a lot of pressure for large parts of that game, but still managed to hit the teams and hit them on the break. And I think being the London derby, they'll fancy their chances here. And I think at 19-10, it's full value to get involved in the Brentford game.
Unbeaten start for both teams, Chad.
Yeah, I think, like Don, you know, I fancy Brentford, quality team, and they've just added Mikael Damsgaard in their side. What a player. I just think the safest bet here is both teams to score. And I think you have to give Fulham some kind of respect. Normally I tend to favor the, not just the Premier League teams against promoted sides, but let me say the established, stable Premier League teams against promoted sides. But Fulham have impressed me. I did not give them any chance against Liverpool, but they were impressive.
Not even against Wolves, actually. They went to Wolves and were actually unlucky not to win.
Yeah. So
both teams to score at 7-10 might be one that you add into all multiples.
Yeah. Hopefully Mitrovic scores his penalty this week.
I think I'm going to do that, in fact. I think both teams to score is the safest bet. I think if you do want to pick a winner or maybe look for some, or just to be safer, I think double chance, Brentford. And both teams to score, yeah.
Leicester against Southampton in the final game at 4 o'clock. Of course, Leicester coming off the back of that 4-2 defeat at Arsenal. And then Southampton, there's just been question marks all over the chat. It's not, or Don, whoever wants to go first.
Well, we're talking about, you know, we just spoke about Everton. We said how they are in a struggle and possibly will be battling relegation this season. I look at these two teams and I'm thinking possibly the same thing for both. Obviously, I do not expect Leicester City to get relegated. I do think they have so much quality. And I think we do tend to make a mistake sometimes and we tend to write them off. But, you know, going by what we've seen, and also by what we're reading in the media, you look at they're likely to lose Fofana. That's a big player. There's still talk about
Yuri Tielemans.
Yuri Tielemans' future hasn't been resolved as yet, and I don't see any players linked with Leicester City.
There's been no talk of a goalkeeper.
There's still Madison, who Newcastle have their eye on. You know, it's Jamie Vardy. I said a couple of weeks back, he's 35 years old now. It's not looking good for Leicester, but they do have enough quality to see off Southampton. Southampton are going to be fighting for the relegation, fighting to avoid the drop. And I think Leicester City, they don't give me all that confidence, but I think at home against Southampton, I think they should be a good bet.
No, I'm totally opposite on this. I think there's big problems at Leicester City.
You've actually been vocal about it for the opening two weeks. Yeah.
And I've been saying this for a while. But
Southampton, though, did they give you any confidence?
Yes.
Is it about Southampton?
It's not about Southampton for me. I think it's more about how poor and what's going on in Leicester. And I think there's big problems at Leicester right now. So Leicester don't give me any confidence. And I think that's where the value comes in, is that this is the time to play them. While there's trouble in the camps, they're losing players. They're losing key players. They're not linked with any single player. And I think, Ralph Hudson will obviously look at this and he really should, and probably want to play, Leicester City now. So the double chance for Southampton is my safe bet for me. But I'm looking at, if you want to be aggressive, go for the Southampton win. And that will be at 31-10.
Mr. Value living up to his name, of course, Southampton being surprise outsiders for this fixture. Don, Bournemouth, who conceded 4 last weekend, face Arsenal, who scored 4. Title-chasing Arsenal to some. Of course, that was off-air, but...
Bournemouth conceded another 4 this weekend. I think, for me, Arsenal are just on fire. We've said it a couple of times. For me, this is going to be the team that makes the top 4. Just the way that they've set up, the way that they're playing. Gabriel Jesus looks like a brand new player. Even though he's played in the Premier League, the team fits him, and he's playing for the jersey. Gabriel as well, Martinelli, he's been fantastic in the midfield. And I don't want to keep praising Arsenal because that's your job. So for me, I think Arsenal and the handicap for me is a safe bet. At 21-20, add to all multiples. Arsenal minus 1.
You can't praise Liverpool, so you might as well.
And you say that's my job. I wouldn't even dwell too much on this fixture. I'm just going to press the little MPL tab on Hollywood Bets and just include it in my multiples. It's simple as that. I don't think there's any case. Maybe Chad feels differently, but I don't think there's any case for Bournemouth. Yeah, I feel like Arsenal are playing some of the best football they've played post-Wenger, some of the best football we're seeing in the league at the moment. And yeah, I said I wasn't going to dwell too much on it, but this team can go very, very far in the Premier League and European competition at the end as well.
Yeah, and I expect them to make easy pickings of this Bournemouth side, pick the cherries apart. And, I think Arsenal are a bet to include in all multiples this weekend.
Put that in a cocktail and shake it up.
Yeah.
Sunday, we see the first of 3 fixtures, Leeds against Chelsea. Chad, it's quite the rivalry, this one, but
yeah,
one-sided. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
Will he shake his hand?
Will he be there?
Well, he's not there at the moment.
Yeah, I'm in the SBN this week, the bet of the week, I've said Chelsea to beat Leeds United. Because these two teams are just in two different places. I think Leeds, obviously, after losing Calvin Phillips and Rafinha, their two best players last season, they've now, I think they will now find themselves fighting, find themselves dragged into a relegation battle. Look, a lot can happen in the transfer window, but currently at the time of recording, they just don't give me much confidence this season. Chelsea, on the other hand, they were superb. They were absolutely excellent against Tottenham. I must be honest, as a Chelsea supporter, I thoroughly enjoyed that game. But I must be honest also in saying that I expected it. Like last week, you remember, I tipped Chelsea to win and we were unlucky not to win. But I expected that performance because I know, you don't look too much into preseason. No one counts preseason results. So I think there's a clear picture that's unfolding at Chelsea. And I think there's some changes coming in, but we look at the quality that's come in. All 3 of our signings have been outstanding. Mark Cucurella, fantastic. Arguably better than Ben Chilwell now. And probably looks like he's making the left back his own position, arguably. And then you've got Raheem Sterling. You've got Kalidou Koulibaly, who impressed so far and even scored in his first home game. So, there's all this going for you. Chelsea, obviously, is still looking to add the likes of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. So and possibly De Jong as well. There's a lot of quality that's still to come before the window shuts. So in terms of this game, Chelsea win this game easily. I expect that. And in terms of the season, I think this, like you said, with Arsenal, I think Chelsea also, depending on how their business goes, they can also go quite high again.
For me, I have to look for value for this game, and I've gone for Chelsea to win 2-0. So Chelsea on the clean sheet, 16-10.
That would mean that they shut out the league's top goal scorer in Rodrigo, who's got 3 goals to his name.
Shut out. I think Koulibaly, for me, he's starting to find his traps. And him and Silva are going to solidify that defense. And then if you get past Koulibaly, you've got to get past Mendy. And I think defensively, Chelsea are going to be sound. They kept an attacking Spurs team quiet for some periods of that game.
Well, as I still feel like there's just value over here. I think Rodrigo at 3-1 is an anytime goal scorer. I do think Chelsea will win this fixture. It's just a case of finding value and just hoping one person scores in the match as opposed to the four or five options that Chelsea do have. But yes, at the same time, I'm sure not many attention will be drawn to this fixture as West Ham against Brighton. Brighton, of course, started the season off well, beating Manchester United. They've travelled to the London Stadium now to face West Ham. Don?
Yeah, no. As much as that, the first game of the fixture, first game of the weekend was good for Brighton. I think I feel sorry for Brighton in this fixture because the backlash that West Ham are going to give them is going to be quite a rough one. I think for me, I'm all over West Ham. I think that this purely because of how they couldn't get past or finish off Not Forest. And so David Moyes is gonna want a positive result and a positive answer from his team. And I actually feel sorry for Brighton, but West Ham for me on the straight win, I think is more than enough value.
Donna's getting that hashtag pray for Brighton.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, look, West Ham, obviously David Moyes will want a response after that defeat against Nottingham Forest, but you know, when I think of like solid Premier League teams that show fight and hunger and passion, and Brentford comes to mind, but also Brighton, and they're a good footballing side as well. I think they are a nightmare to play against. I think even the top teams don't enjoy playing against Brighton.
But when they play at the Amex, I think when they play at home, they set up a little bit differently. And I think traveling to the London Stadium, the noise is going to be cool. I think Bowen's going to play well. Antonio needs to start eating the straps.
Well, not necessarily. They went to Old Trafford and they won. So, like, home and away, Brighton are just a force. And I actually think that they will at least earn a point in this game. I think I'll back the draw here. I don't think this is a game, if I must be honest, I think this is a game to steer clear of. But I do think in terms of a result, Brighton can avoid defeat, yeah.
Two big derbies to talk about left for the weekend. Of course, we've got the derby on Monday night between the biggest rivalry in England. Of course, Manchester United and Liverpool. But before that, we've got the El Clasico.
Yeah, El Clasico.
I was waiting for this one.
Newcastle against Manchester City, Chad. It's two teams who can afford to buy us a billion times each. They face off in Sunday's final fixture.
Yeah, this is one that I'm really looking forward to. I mean, apart from the obvious humding on Monday, this is one game that I can't wait to watch. Newcastle are solid. They fantastic side, well coached, top manager, top team, top talent, just top quality on the whole. And Manchester City are, you know, we know all about Manchester City. I think, obviously looking, more lethal in attack with the acquisition of Erling Haaland. But there's a lot of places in the squad where I felt like they've let go of just too much quality. That's in terms of their season. But then at the same time, it is five subs rule. So you do need a big squad. There's also speculation surrounding Bernardo Silva, possibly moving to Barcelona. So, you know, there's a lot that can happen now. I don't know if his head's turned. But I do think that Newcastle with the St. James faithful behind them.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no. What's happening?
Newcastle with the St. James faithful behind them are capable of putting a real showing against this, force that is Manchester City. I think we look at upsets. I mean, we've seen an upset so far in every, since the start of the new Premier League season, every week. I think if we are going to see one, in this round of matches, I think it could be this game. I do think that, Newcastle could earn a draw, take a point off City. I mean, unless we're all expecting City to win every single game this season.
Not, most unlikely thing, but now I think Man City win this for me by three.
Man City at away win at 4-10 is probably the best bet of the weekend.
That's a tap in from the bookmakers. Yeah, the bookmakers have said he has a tap in.
Yeah, so they've literally just given us a
that's the obvious one. If you're looking for an upset, like we have seen, I mean, did we expect Fulham to earn a point against at Anfield? Did we expect Brighton to beat Manchester United at Old Trafford? Did we expect these things? I'm saying, yes, the obvious thing is the Manchester City win, but I'm saying if we're looking at trying to find a potential upset, I'm looking at this fixture based on what Newcastle are capable of, and we saw that last season, and it's been continuity. I don't think it's so far-fetched.
I'll wear a Liverpool jersey if Man City don't win.
Okay.
We got that recorded.
Yeah.
Man City comfortably win this game. Yes, we the hype is around Haaland, and every person's put him into his fantasy league team. Man City still won the game 4-0, and Haaland had five touches.
You're thinking of Alexander Arnold, aren't you?
Yeah. Haaland had like five touches. He assisted once and he didn't hit the back of the net. So, which proves that the goal threats can come from anywhere at City. City can turn it up if they want to and turn into a different gear and put the turbo booster on and can hurt you. So for me, if City win 1-0, that is probably being respectable.
I'd give Newcastle a pat on the back for that.
Yeah. At 1-0, I would give Newcastle a pat on the back. I don't think it's one way traffic for me, and at 4-10, you don't have to even look for bigger value.
Yeah, I just feel like Manchester City, Chad mentioned Bernardo Silva, who could be on his way out. Ilkay Gundogan has just been named club captain, and last week he put in a better performance than Kevin De Bruyne.
And Kevin De Bruyne played well.
And he did.
Phil Foden played well.
Yeah. Jack Grealish didn't start.
Do they still miss Raheem Sterling? I thought they were going to miss
Sterling or Jesus.
Yeah,
Jesus and Sterling are both doing well at their new clubs, but they exactly don't miss him at all. Sinchenko as well, not missed. Cancelo is the best left back in the league.
So having said that, I mean, and Cancelo's playing phenomenal. So yes, I get what Chad's saying in terms of they have lost quality players, and I don't take anything away from that statement. But City, for me, have just got the bigger squad with the most talent. Manchester City C team could probably come out.
That's what we normally say last. That's what we would have said last season. I'm saying we don't say that this season. And if you say that, then you must name the C team and name the B team that can But honestly, like how we normally say Manchester City can field out two teams. Can the B team win the league this season?
No. The A team will.
But that's the point. For how long have we said the first team can put out a second team as well? Mm-hmm. That's my point. They are not as so strong like how.
I'd say they. I do agree that they have lost quality. They've lost so much quality, but I don't feel like they'll feel it 3 games in. I feel like this is something that will hurt them around
League,
December.
Yeah. When Champions League starts kicking
when
in.
When there's injuries to Cancelo. They're going to call Mendy out of jail.
And then we have to discuss, okay, maybe City are there for the taking. But right now, they're going to hit their straps, and they have hit their straps. They're running at full pace.
I think, Don, what you and I need to see first is a team beat Manchester City, and then we'll realize that, oh, wait, it can be done. And just a reminder to say that you're not as great as you are. But for now, I feel like
Man City's lost three results against Newcastle. 5-0, 4-0, 4-3.
And funny you say that, because I remember this being Aguero's favorite fixture.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he once scored 5 in this game, so his replacement should also find the back of the net.
So for me, the last time they went to the Drury Stadium, 4-0.
It's crazy. I can't wait for this weekend. It's going to be interesting. Hopefully, Leeds and Chelsea produce all the fireworks before that. But yeah, after that, we've got the biggest rivalry in probably world football. I don't know if this is bigger than El Clasico, but growing up, this is always a fixture that I felt fairly close to me, because I always had Man United friends, and the Liverpool guys were also just somewhere around in the corners. But This game has all the makings of a humdinger. It's two teams who are winless so far. Don said, you know, before we jumped on this podcast, he's like, is this really the biggest game of the weekend? But yeah, the two teams who are winless, well, you know, they, this is the headline fixture, and that's just the way it is. That's how the Premier League works. Chad, Manchester United lost their opening two games. Liverpool drawn their opening two games.
Yeah. I did not expect to, that both of these sides will be searching for their first victory in game week 3. And that is just the Premier League for you.
And completely going into game week 4, it could be none of them with their first victory. That's crazy.
It's crazy. And you know, I think of the two teams, I think we can clearly look at one and kind of sympathize. Even like, you know, banter aside.
You sympathize with me, okay? That's fine, because we have got injuries. I'm grateful for this.
I would actually hope he's talking about Liverpool.
I'm actually talking about Manchester United. No, wow. I honestly think, banter aside, I don't think any fan deserves that. I don't think any fan deserves, but like what they,
if there was one set of fans club, that deserved this, it would be Man United fans. Okay,
well, sentiment aside then, as I just, look, Liverpool should win this game. I mean, it's another tap-in
from the bookmakers.
It's that clear to call. Manchester United clearly have problems. There's all kinds of problems. And now there's a lot of shocking things. You said you couldn't wait to talk about De Gea. It might not even be De Gea in goal because they linked with Asmir Begovic. Can you believe it? At this time. There's Casemiro who they're trying to look at after the Rabiot deal collapsed. They've also looked at Aubameyang. They're like all over the show. They're looking at you can just see there's no direction. It's just, this is panic buying. Now on another level, because all these players that weren't even thought of before are now all of a sudden Manchester United in talks with. So the club is not in a good place. They're in disarray. Performance wise, they're shambolic. It looks like they have no identity with, the manager. Liverpool, on the other hand, I think you can look at their results and be like, yes, they should have won, but this is still a quality team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you can expect them to win. And I say win comfortably, with all due respect to United, even though the games at Old Trafford, Brighton won comfortably, I think.
You know what's Brentford, the difference between these two teams and going into this fixture is that both are winless, both not with luck on their side, and both teams with plenty of positives to look forward to. But Manchester United in their two games didn't fight at all. Against Brighton, they were terrible. No fight, no character, no class. Against Brentford, no fight, no character, no class. Liverpool against Fulham and against Crystal Palace fought until the very end, and fought whether it was being a headbutt or whether it was, you know, a last gasp goal or whatever it is. Just, you saw Liverpool, and Liverpool never ever became, you know, anything less throughout the 90 minutes in both draws. And I feel like that's some encouragement going into this fixture. I just feel like Liverpool will, I've seen Liverpool pounce on so many teams as failures before, where, you know, Arsenal have, you know, just been going through the most, and then they face Liverpool, and then Liverpool just say, nope, you're not going through, you know, I'm going to show you something, and then they could just give us a 4 or whatever. So Manchester United conceded 4 last week. I feel like they could concede 5 this week. It's hashtag pray for Red Devils.
No, I don't think it's, I think yes, there might be trouble in the camp, but with the owners coming out and trying to put the funding out there, and this is why they're linked with everybody, and their dogs. I think the players, the fans want the team, they want the owners out, and they've been very vocal about getting the Glazers out. And I think that's where the discord is coming in. Last week on this podcast, the brothers came out and said that the coaching hasn't started at,
Well, Jesse said that.
And you,
I
you,
laughed. And you I echoed stand by. Laughed. I stand okay. by that.
So, and having said that, I'm reminded that this is still Manchester United. You cannot write them off.
This is Manchester United.
You cannot write them off. I'm telling you this. right now.
You obviously look, being winless in your first two games, surely you're looking at Man United and you're confident. Plus, Nunes isn't playing,
so you must be weekend.
Nunes is not playing.
So you must be confident.
Yet again, there's midfield woes in Liverpool. You've seen how we've missed Thiago. So team selection is going to be critical for me. It is Monday night under the lights at Old Trafford.
Bobby's back in training.
Yeah. So that is positive. If Bobby starts for me, I'm quite happy on that, on that side. But it's not going to be a one-sided affair is what I'm trying to say. But I'm looking at obviously going with the away team to take all 3 points.
Don't say the away. Say my team. Say my team of winning this fixture.
Yes. For me, you know, Liverpool will win this game. But I am feeling sorry.
Don't say Liverpool. Say my team.
I am feeling sorry for the possible bloodbath. Salah hasn't come and started. Salah
needs this fixture.
So Salah needs this fixture to start hitting the ground and start training.
There we go.
If Salah scores a hat-trick here, then the league starts for Liverpool.
You're expecting Salah to score a hat-trick?
Well, he did last season. I am. At this fixture, at Old Toilets. So for me, I'm back in Liverpool to win. And it makes my quad for the weekend, including the Monday nights. I've actually gone for the top four teams, to win. They're all playing away. So Arsenal to win, Chelsea to win, Man City to win, Liverpool to win at 4-1. I think that's a massive value bet.
And there's your top four prediction. Don, I love how you went from this is Man United, this is a big game. Can't wait for Salah to score a hat-trick. Here's my quad, Liverpool. but yeah, it promises to be a cracking weekend, of course, including the Monday
night. It's Monday, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I was
flabbergasted when I saw the fixture result. Generally, this is...
So weekend
iconically,
game.
Yeah, weekend, Sunday early kickoff, or the late fixture on a Saturday evening.
Yeah.
To play it on a Monday, Sky Sports had definitely had some involvement there.
Yeah. I think they've also jumped on that bandwagon. # pray for Red Devils. It's going to be one of those Monday nights, I feel like.
Well, it's the only time that Man United will play so late. Because when they go to Europe, they're going to be playing at 5 o'clock fixtures. So they need to obviously hit the lights to actually work at United.
Gentlemen, it could be a successful weekend for all our teams. I just see Arsenal plays Bournemouth, Chelsea face Leeds, and Liverpool have the easiest fixture of them all. Of course, they face Manchester United. So, gentlemen, it should see happy faces next week. So, I think let's leave it at that until next week.
Cheers.
Cheers.